Amen. See, if you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to turn to the Gospel of Luke. Children, you go to Children's Church this morning. Yeah, if we, is there one thing about Free Will Baptist? We like to eat. Amen. And I look at all of us and tell we really are very good at that. And, you know, every time there's a covered dinner, a potluck or whatever, I always enjoy standing looking and seeing what everybody brings. And there's always one thing that catches my attention more than other things. The banana pudding, the cakes, the pies. And some of them I'm tempted just to take them and say, I'll get this in my office until it's time. Why is it? It's because the dessert is good. We like dessert. Well, it's not to like sugar. And though it's not healthy for us, too, we're made, you know, that's... we like it, even though we probably shouldn't have it. And we know we shouldn't just eat dessert. There's times when we go to Cracker Barrel, I'll tell Leslie, I say, well, I'm just going to order the Coca-Cola cake. She never lets me do it. And by the time I eat the food, I'm too full and I can't eat the Coca-Cola cake. So it's always a conundrum. One of these, I'm just going to have to go just for dessert. Maybe afternoon or something, or maybe we need to have a deacon's meeting, fellas, at Cracker Barrel one afternoon. Yeah, that's okay. I got unanimous vote here, so that's our next deacon's meeting going to be at Cracker Barrel one afternoon for dessert and coffee. And but we need the others. But so often in our Christian life, we just want the easy, the good, and the sweet stuff, don't we? There's a lot of stuff that's sweet in the life of a child of God. And we could stand here all, and we could just spend hours talking about the good things that God has done for us and how we've seen God work and just how sweet it is when we come together as God's people and we worship together. Okay, the month of March and April were hard for me because I had to preach to two mugs, the hapless crew back there. And that was it. And boy, they, you know, they can make our sound good, but they sure ain't much to look at. We can fix the sound, we can't fix the look. We got what we got. So, but when we all gathered together, now I know you were watching on Facebook and you left comments, and I appreciated that. We were able to leave prayer requests with one another, and that was good. But it's just not the same as being together with you. So I'm glad that we're able to be together again. I'm also glad, though, that, listen, because of that pandemic, we have people watching from South Dakota and from France and all around the world. There have been people that have watched our YouTube channel or Facebook channel that we probably wouldn't have started that if we didn't have to. And so I appreciate, again, our hapless crew. And by the way, that was Bill's. Bill named them that, not me. So you two are just stuck with it, I'm afraid. But they are not hapless. We couldn't do without them. And we wouldn't want to try either most days. But listen, they do a great job, and we're thankful that we have that technology to expand the reach of our church. But doing that is sometimes hard. I wish it was easy as, you know, just inviting somebody to church. Or unlocking, you know, 20 years ago, sir, there's that baseball movie, Field of Dreams. Y'all remember that, Kevin Costner? And he has this vision and he builds this baseball field and says, if you'll build it, they will come. Well, a lot of times we try to go by that philosophy in the church world, but does it ever work? Nope. Here our church has sat for 30. People in this community know this church is here. Lots of people drive by it every day. You know, we're on Facebook and on the... So people that are looking for a church, they can find us. But the thing is, people don't want to find... They're not out looking a lot of times. And so our job as God's children is to shine light and kind of savor the pot, if you will, so that they want to search out the things of God. And they know where to find it because they know you. And so Jesus here talks to us about the importance of living a Christian life. He talks about the importance of not only being light, but also living your life in such a way that people know that the life of a child of God is not all a rose garden. It's not all, you know, bubble gum and potlucks. That there are struggles in the Christian life. And there's trials and there's tribulations. But Jesus wants us to understand. Luke records for us these wonderful words in Luke chapter 11. And we're going to read verses 33 through 36. I encourage you to read along. It says, "No one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. The lamp of the body is the eye. And therefore, when your enemy is good, when your eye is good, your whole body is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light. As when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light." And so Jesus begins here by sharing a lesson that we need to learn. What an important lesson. We know that little kid song, you know, that we sang at camp probably, or Bible school, "This light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no. Not going to let Satan blow it out, no, you know. I'm going to let it shine." And, you know, that's a catchy tune, but Jesus says that's what he wants you to do. He wants you to let your light shine. Now, light is important. Most life needs light to exist. Part of, you know, light, it not only helps us see where we're going so we then don't end up driving off a cliff or something like that. Light also helps plants survive. You know, plants couldn't live without sunlight. And the truth of the matter is, human beings couldn't be healthy without sunlight. The sunlight, when we're out, it helps our body make vitamin D. And so our world desperately needs light. Jesus said that this is what the condemnation of the world is. That the light came into the world, but the world received him not. If there was ever a time in our world where we needed light, it is today. I mean, our world is in a mess. If you don't agree with that, you've had your head in the sand. Turn on the news this afternoon for 10 minutes, and it doesn't matter what channel, you'll find out. I mean, yeah. And, you know, it's not just in Seattle or in Atlanta or Minneapolis or Baltimore. It's here in Mississippi. That there's all kinds of craziness going on in our world. And the thing is that the answer is not more craziness. It's not more rioting. Evil, the only thing it does is produce more evil. Evil never becomes good. And Jesus makes that point when he says, light is not darkness. In fact, the only way that you can create darkness is to remove light. That's what darkness is, the absence of light. And so Jesus gives this great analogy. He said, you know what? Nobody lights a lamp and hides it in a cupboard or puts it under a basket. That's stupid. Your house is going to burn up. And you're not going to have light. So what do you do with that lamp? You put it up on a lampstand in the middle of the room where it lights the entire room. Now, our power is out, Seth, and out, you know, out our direction. The power was out about 3 o'clock this morning. It still went on when we left to come to church. And so Leslie and I got ready by a flashlight on our cell phones. Now, those things don't produce a whole lot of light. And so, but it doesn't take a whole lot of light to light up darkness, does it? Just that little strobe from the back of your phone lights up the whole room. And so what we need to remember is that, yes, this world is a very dark place. There is sin rampant in our world. And the cure is the light of Jesus Christ. And so, this is what Jesus says. He said, you know what? You are the light. He said, you make sure that your body is full of light. Because you know what light does? Light is necessary for life to exist. But also, light is meant to be shared. Light doesn't just light up for you. Anybody that's near has the same benefit of that light, don't they? And so Jesus said, you know what, that we, as we go about our Christian life, as we live our life, as we go, we're supposed to be like a flashlight that's turned on and emitting light. And that means everywhere we go, darkness is vanished at least a little bit. Because wherever there's light, there's not complete darkness. So this world certainly needs the light of Christ. And you know what? God has commissioned you. He's commissioned me to be His flashlights. As we go about our daily life, we ought to remember, hey, I'm a flashlight. I'm not a basket cover. I'm not a hat. I'm not anything. I'm to be a flashlight. Now, does that mean that our flashlight always is as bright as it should be? No. The light that we produce comes from the Holy Spirit indwelling our life. God's power living in us is what gives the light. And so if our relationship with God is weak, then our light's going to be weak too. But the thing is that we're like those rechargeable energizer batteries. You plug them back up, in a little while, they're strong again. And our time with God and our, you know, and so when we pray, when we read the Bible, when we go to church, those are things that charge our batteries up. We don't do those things so that we can be saved. We do those things because we are. And we recognize that we need this constant power that doesn't come from us. Jesus said in John 15, without me you can do nothing. But you remember Paul says, the flip side of that is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so he begins by giving his disciples and giving us this important lesson that we need to heed. It matters how you live your life. Your witness matters. How you behave matters. You know, in our world, people, and it's not just kids, adults seem to think, you know, on Facebook, they think that nobody sees what they put on Facebook. We forget that everybody in the world, including your preacher and your mama, if they're still alive, can see what you've put on Facebook. So don't put something on there you wouldn't want your preacher or your mama seeing. So this is an important lesson, and if it was important in the first century when Jesus walked the earth, you better believe it's a lesson that we need to learn in 2020. This year has showed us anything, and I hope the second half is a whole lot better than the first half was. But this year, if it's shown us anything, it's that this world is in a mess. And there's not a whole lot in this world we can control. And so Jesus said, listen, your flashlights, live like it, walk like it. But then he includes, Luke includes for us two examples and two warnings that we need to avoid. The people that are addressed by Jesus in these two passages of Scripture that we're going to look at in just a moment were the religious good folks. The scribes were those who were tasked with copying. They didn't have printing presses and copiers and all those kind of nifty things in that day. And so lawyers or scribes, they were scribes. They wrote down God's word. They copied it. Because we all know paper wears out, doesn't it? It fades and it rips and it tears. And you know, they had parchment that they used. Sometimes they used goat skins or different animal skins to, you know, write on, and they rolled it up into scrolls. Well, every time they opened them, that wore them down, didn't it? And so they had to be replaced. And a scribe was somebody whose job it was to copy those scrolls down so that they would always have a copy of God's word. And that meant that their job, what they got paid to do, was write the scrolls. So you better believe they knew it. They knew it backwards and forwards and sideways and upside down, they knew it. The Pharisees were known for being a group that were very zealous in the things of God. But their zealousness was not in a relationship with God. It was in doing things they thought made them holy. And so rules began to replace a relationship. And that's not what God wants. So God gives us these two warnings to remind us, first of all, it's not enough to look good on the outside. So let's look in verse 37 through 44. He says, as he spoke, a certain Pharisee asked him to dine with him. And so he went and he sat down to eat. When the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not washed before dinner. Then the Lord said to him, now you Pharisees make the outside of the cup and dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness. Foolish ones! Did not he who made the outside make the inside too? But woe to you, uh, but rather give alms of such things as you have, and then indeed all things will be clean to you. But woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and pass by justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. And so this first lesson that he warning you, boys, listen, it's not just doing the right things. He didn't say you shouldn't tithe, that you shouldn't give to the Lord. He said, but you walk right by justice and the love of God. One of the most foundational characteristics about God, as we think about God, is love, isn't it? And Scripture talks a great deal about the love that God has for mankind. It wasn't so much on the radar of the Pharisees. They were too busy keeping their check marks going. Never mind that they were people that were going hungry and needing food, or people that were wearing rags and needed clothes, and said, well, I put my money in the plate. I've done my due. And Jesus said, no, you've missed out on one of the most important things. You've been busy doing some things, but you've neglected others. In other words, you've been eating your dessert, but you've been leaving out the meat and the vegetables, the things that you need. And so God says to us, that's not good. We all know we need a well-balanced diet in our eating, don't we? We need to have, you know, proteins, and we need to have carbohydrates and some. You know, your body needs fat. Most of our problems is we give our body way too much, way more than it needs. But your body needs some fat, some healthy fats, in order for it to function the way that it's supposed to. Your body needs carbohydrates to function like it's supposed to. Can it function without those things? Yes. You know, we go on those fad diets and lose 5 pounds to gain 10 back after we go off of it. But our bodies need those things. They just need it. It needs it in the right proportions. It doesn't need too little and it doesn't need too much. Well, the thing is, our spiritual life, we need a balanced diet too. And that's the point that Jesus is making to this Pharisee. The Pharisee at least invited Jesus into his home, which meant that he was at least interested in hearing more about what Jesus said. But then he let his traditionalism and his box checking stop him from a great blessing. How wonderful it would have been, and wouldn't we all love to have Jesus come and sit at our table and talk to us and be able to ask him questions that we wonder about. But instead of doing that, the man was upset because Jesus didn't wash his hands. Well, Jesus probably had, for whatever, you know, he probably did. But it was customary for a house, you know, whoever owned the house, when they came in, that they would wash their guests' feet and wash their hands. And so it was this Pharisee that should have done that for Jesus. And yet he condemns Jesus for not doing it. But Jesus makes a point. He said, you know what? Yeah, you've made some offerings. And you've given of some extra, you know, you've tied your herbs and all kinds of things that you've made. But you've missed justice. You've missed doing what's right and treating others rightly and helping minister people's needs. What motivates us to do those things? What motivates the church to start orphanages and hospitals? until a relatively recent time in history, colleges, schools, hospitals, daycare center were affiliated with the church. And we still have some hospitals here around that are affiliated or are Christ, you know, faith-based. Why? What would motivate them to do that? Making a quick buck? No. They did it because they understood the love of God. And when you've come to know the love of God in your life, you can't help but share it with others. Micah, the Old Testament prophet, asked this question: what does God require of us to do? And you remember what the answer was? Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. In other words, walk with God, behave like God would want you to behave, and make a difference for other people. The Pharisees all knew that, they just didn't do it. But then, so that we didn't get out of kilter, because God knows how us human beings like to think, say, all right, Lord, it's not about doing, it's just about being. It's about who we are and having our heart right. So Jesus, through Luke, introduces us to this group of scribes. And the scribes who were also at this dinner and heard Jesus' condemnation of the Pharisees said, you know what? When you say this to condemn the Pharisees, you also condemn us by your words. And so, picking up in verse 45, he says, then one of the lawyers or scribes answered and said to him, teacher, by saying these things you reproach us also. And he said, woe to you also, lawyers, for you load men with burdens that are hard to bear, and you yourself do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. In fact, you bear witness that you approve of the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and you build their tombs. Therefore, the wisdom of God also said, I will send the prophets and the apostles, and some of them they will kill and persecute, that the blood of all of the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the temple. Yes, I say to you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe to you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. Do not enter yourselves, and those who are entering in you hindered. And as he said these things to them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to assail him vehemently and to cross-examine him about many things, lying in wait for him to seek to catch him in something he might say that they might accuse him. And so, unless we think that it's just about loving God, Jesus gives us the lesson of the scribe. No, that's not enough either. Yes, we've got to love God. We've got to know God. We've got to build our spiritual battery reserve and power. But we've also got to let our light shine. We need to not put hindrances in front of people that keep them from coming to know the gospel. He said, scribe, you've made all kinds of laws. Remember, there were laws in the Old Testament. Absolutely there were. But they're contained in a book, you know, that would be that thick. But the scribes and the Pharisees and tradition had taken this book that was this thick and made it volumes of books that was this thick. And so Jesus said, listen, scribe, you've made it all about these laws that God never even attended. And you've made it even more burdensome than what God made it. You know, at 9 o'clock, we're looking at the book of Leviticus. And that book records for us, it's basically the order of service. It's the worship roadmap for the nation of Israel. The pages are full with laws. God says, do this and do it forever. And so there are laws in the Old Testament. But the Apostle Paul tells us the only thing the law could do, couldn't save anyone. The only thing the law can do is show us that we can't keep it. Remember Jesus said, if you've broken one commandment, you've broken all of them. Well, I don't want you to raise your hands, but how many of us have broken a commandment or two in our day? Every one of us. There's no one in here that hasn't. The scribes hadn't either. And yet they judge people because they weren't living a godly life. But the truth of the matter is they weren't doing it either. And human nature does do that, doesn't it, to us? It's a whole lot easier to see somebody else's faults than to look at ours. And truly, in the world, if there's always problems and it's always somebody else's fault, chances are it's not somebody else's fault at all. It's probably yours. And we all know people that, you know, never take responsibility for that. It's always somebody else. Well, that's a sign of immaturity, by the way, but it certainly is not a sign of godliness. And so he says, listen, you have taken away the knowledge that God intends for his people to know because you've made it so big that nobody can learn it. You've made it so difficult. It's gotten a little bit different now, but in the Catholic Church a couple generations ago, they didn't have a Bible. And, you know, the Catholic didn't carry a Bible like we do. They would go to Mass, and the priest would read the Bible. And by the way, not in English or whatever the language was of wherever. It was in Latin. Well, there are very few people in the world today that can read and speak Latin. And they were, you know, all these motion, you know, they had all these rituals, all these different things. When God's Word says, you remember in the book of Hebrews, we'll get there next week in Sunday school, I think, or in the next week, Hebrews chapter 4, that the Bible says that we have direct, that we can come before the throne of grace boldly because we have a high priest that can sympathize with us. We have a high priest that went through the temptations that we face and yet was without sin. The Pharisees and the scribes missed the point of what Jesus was trying to teach them. They didn't heed the warning. In fact, they went right back to their old ways and they began to vehemently, Luke says, cross-examine Jesus, hoping to trap him up to be able to accuse him of blasphemy. And of course, that eventually they couldn't trap him up, so they had to make up something. And by the way, people do that still today, don't they? They're not willing to acknowledge the truth. Because when we acknowledge the truth, it means that we're going to have to change some things. And you see, that's what the Christian walk is about. Is growing in grace and knowledge. Knowing more and more and more about Jesus, not so that we have more and more laws to keep, but so that we can know God deeper, so that our life can shine His light brighter. And the more we learn Him, and the closer we grow to Him, the brighter and brighter our light shines. And so remember this week that God has said to every one of us, "You're my little light. Are you going to let it shine? Or are you going to put it under a bushel? Are you going to let Satan blow it out?" I hope your answer is no. I'm going to let it shine. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness and your love to us. Lord, we pray if there's one here today or one watching on video that doesn't know you and your grace and mercy, would today be the day that they would come to know that free gift of salvation? They would recognize their sinfulness, but also believe that you paid the sin debt for them on the cross of Calvary by shedding your sinless, innocent blood, and help them to confess you as Lord and Savior. Lord, maybe there's one of your children here today, Lord, they know, and you've really spoken to their heart this morning that their light has been mighty dim. Lord, it hadn't gone out, but there ain't much power to it. And Lord, the power charge is not by them trying harder. It's not by them doing more. The power comes by getting closer to you. And so may you help all of us make a determination and a commitment to you today that we want our light to grow in intensity and brightness. We want to shine the light of Jesus like a giant mag light across this community and around this world by your grace and for your glory. So help us, we pray, hear from you. Help us to respond to you as you would have us to do, we pray in Jesus' name. Let's stand together as we sing a hymn of invitation.